When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome in, and it is that time of day again. That's right, game time decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri on this Wednesday now, June the 5th, as we get ready. We inch a little bit closer here to the start of the NBA Finals, just 24 hours away from that in Boston, as the Celtics will finally try to get that elusive NBA championship banner back in their building. But they're going to have to go through Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving, and PJ Washington, and the rest of the Dallas Mavericks, who have done a great job of playing spoiler thus far in the playoffs. I think it's going to be a fantastic NBA Finals, and I'm looking very forward to that tipping off tomorrow night. We will have to wait until the weekend, of course, until the NHL Stanley Cup begins here, right? Not too far from where I'm sitting in the studio here in South Florida, as the Panthers will take on the Edmonton Oilers for that Cup championship. And boy, oh boy, a lot of excitement in these parts here about Florida being back for the second time in a row. In fact, I believe, if history tells us, the last three back-to-back Stanley Cup Finals appearances by teams that lost their first go-around, came back the following year, they have all won. And that includes teams like the Boston Bruins, the Pittsburgh Penguins, and the Tampa Bay Lightning over the last decade. So history certainly will look favorable upon the Panthers, and so does the market right now here, not only in game one, but you saw the price there in the series, right around minus 125, 126, somewhere in that ballpark. It's still a good price. It should be an absolute fantastic Stanley Cup. And really, you know, we're looking at the NHL and the NBA. Sometimes there is just a clear favorite, and then we're hoping that we just get enough games to make it interesting, like last year, for instance, when Vegas did beat the Florida Panthers in five games, beat them 4-1 there, as the Panthers were just riddled with injuries, guys playing with deviated septums. I mean, they were an absolute mess. Not so much this year. And of course, the Miami Heat, who were also very hobbled and were going toe-to-toe with the Denver Nuggets, they only lasted five games. I do think both of these championships coming up are certainly going to give us at least six, if not seven, very close games. And it should be a whole lot of fun and very profitable to watch them unfold. We do have much more on both of those games coming up here over the next hour and 55 minutes or so. Also, we've got the Memorial coming up here in the PGA Tour, Jack's Place in Ohio. This is always one of the favorite stops among the PGA Tour professionals. Not an easy course. Also, it is the week before the U.S. Open, which is also going to make it very interesting. A lot at stake here in the Memorial heading into the U.S. Open. Our good friend Brady Cannon will be by next hour. We're going to dive into that tournament and a look ahead to any possible future bets we can make with the U.S. Open. And I wouldn't just run to the window and back Scottie Scheffler just yet, although that seems to be the easiest and probably most prudent thing to do. There might be an opportunity for somebody down that list there to not only win the Memorial, but in fact make some noise next week at the U.S. Open. We also have the final leg of the Triple Crown coming up this weekend. The Belmont Stakes, only it's not at Belmont, it's at Saratoga, but it's still called the Belmont Stakes. Don't confuse that. This is not a mile and a half marathon. This is a mile and a quarter because Saratoga doesn't have the property to be able to run a track around a mile and a half, but that's okay. It's not the first time this has happened. Renovations at Belmont have caused this, and I believe next year's running of the Belmont Stakes to be at Saratoga, one of the most gorgeous and historic racetracks in the country. And I would highly suggest, if you are a fan of history and want to step into a time long ago, head over to Churchill, head over to Saratoga. Absolutely gorgeous racetracks. And that will be the focus on Saturday for the Belmont Stakes. And we're going to talk to our good friends over at the Daily Racing Forum coming up, get their thoughts on what should also be an action-packed race with a lot of horses people feel can actually win this here at a pretty good price. So much to dive into there. And Major League Baseball here tonight with about half the games going off earlier or right about now. In fact, a couple of games still underway, including the Giants and Diamondbacks. Giants 6-3 trying to finally win a game in this series over to Diamondbacks in the bottom of the sixth. The Reds have just taken over the Rockies in the top of the ninth. They were losing for most of this contest, but they are not losing anymore. They just scored the go-ahead run here in the top of the ninth. So 8-7 Reds on top of the Rockies here, looking for the sweep. The Cincinnati Reds are, and the Phillies doing the same here over the Brewers, up 2-0 right now in the bottom of the eighth. And the Mets, you know the rule here. We don't bet on the Mets until after the seventh inning when whoever they're playing is losing and the Mets bullpen has to come in. Although Patrick Corbin on the mound for the Nats, and outside of a solo home run, so that's the only hit he's given up. It's 1-0 here in the top of the fourth. Cards beat the Astros earlier today, and the Braves got one hit. Talk about embarrassing. Nick Pivetta and the bullpen for the Red Sox handled their business here today. 9-0. Red Sox got it done. Just one lousy hit for the Atlanta Braves here today. Not a great showing by Atlanta. But maybe the game of the night is coming up in just about 30 minutes or so as the Dodgers getting ready to take on Paul Skenes and the Pittsburgh Pirates. And boy, oh boy, Paul Skenes getting a whole lot of love in the marketplace as people can't even name two other Pirates, but they know Paul Skenes is pitching and they are going to bet a strikeout prop over and they are going to bet the Pittsburgh Pirates. The problem is he's not going to win every game. And boy, oh boy, did the Dodgers look pathetic last night, getting shut out, losing 1-0 to the Pirates, or what? Paxton is going for the Dodgers. Oh, yeah, by the way, he hasn't lost a game. He is 5-0 on the season, but this is a game in which many, 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 many people feel the wheels are going to fall off of Mr. James Paxton, and maybe tonight on the road against the rookie phenom Paul Skenes, maybe this is the night it happens. But I would tread very carefully here. PNC Park is going to be rocking here tonight as the Pirates and their phenom rookie look to take down the Dodgers again tonight. Also, in a battle of Florida, which nobody wants to win, you've got the Rays and the Marlins kicking off a little bit later this hour as well. We'll have much more on the late games here tonight, including the Yankees and the Twins, Mariners, Athletics. How about the Padres, Angels? And it looks like the Royals and Guardians were already postponed here today. So we still got much to get to. We're just kicking it off here as game time decisions. I can't believe it. It is a Wednesday. We are in the month of June. My goodness, less than 90 days before football is back and ready to go in the season kickoff. Looking forward to it. Time flies. Come back and join us. Game time decisions here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah. All right, welcome back in. Game time decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri, joined by the legendary George Kurtz, ready to roll here, hoping the Islanders hold tryouts here at some point because he will, in fact, dust off the skates and get out there in goal. Lord knows they need the help there, Kurtz. But looking forward to the NHL getting going here, and we're going to have to wait a few more days. But before we dive into Major League Baseball on the slate here today, your initial feeling, 6-7 games in this one, or do you think we got an opportunity with maybe a five-game series being rather quickly with a gentleman's sleep?
I mean, there's always a chance of that, right? One team's just hotter than the other, or things aren't working out for one team. But I think this is going to be a longer series here, and I don't have a great feel for it, or I truly don't here. I am on Florida. They were my team to make it to the Stanley Cup. I had them versus the Dallas Stars here, so Dallas didn't get there. Florida is a hockey team, right? We know they're going to bang you. They can play pretty much any which way you want. Do they have the skill of the Oilers? No. All right, they don't have McDavid and Dreisaitl, players like that. So they need to play more of a hockey game. I truly don't trust either goaltender. I know Skinner was great. He stole game six for the Edmonton Oilers. Bobrovsky's been really, really good, really all season long. Maybe just about past how he's played in the past still affects me now. So I'm going to play the over in game one as well here. I'm going to go Florida in seven here. You know, but six, I think, is a smarter money play here. And by the way, you know, you take either team to win in six, whoever you think is going to win, you know, take them in six or seven. You win money either way, or six and seven. Yeah, you win money either way. That's probably how I'm going to go about this. I'm going to take Florida to win in game, either in six games or seven games. As long as they win, I don't think they'll win in four or five. I should be golden.
Yeah, I think if it's a shorter series, it definitely favors Florida. I think once you start getting into that six or seven, you know, the problem is you get to a seventh game. Good luck. It's anybody's game at that point. So I think the favorite, and it was funny, George, I read earlier today that those teams that make it back a second year in a row to the finals that didn't win the year prior, they much better luck the second go around. Tampa has won a championship like that. Pittsburgh did. I believe Boston also over the last decade. So, and it makes sense, right? I guess that experience of losing, having a good enough team to get back the following year, you don't kind of make those same mistakes you made the year prior.
Agreed, right? Experience does play a factor here. Listen, the week off also plays a factor. I don't know who's going to show up on Saturday. I don't like what the NHL's done. Listen, the NBA did it, but that's the NBA. The NHL, you're not the NBA. You're certainly not the NFL. Waiting a week, and I understand that odds are it was the TV networks. I don't know what's ABC or TNT covering the first round, but odds are it was them that said, no, you're waiting till Saturday. So I get that. But still, taking a week off when we had exciting matchups, right, in the conference finals. It was fun to watch here. And now that sort of dies as you wait a week here. We're only halfway through, right? And everyone's going to be talking about the NBA finals starting tomorrow. So I don't like the fact that they're waiting so long here. So I think that could affect one team early going. I don't know which one. Maybe it affects both and it evens out anyway here. But I do think Florida is the better team here. Also, I might ask this. I mean, Edmonton has done a fantastic job of really changing the type of team they are. Right? They've gone from an offensive first, oh, let's bet all the overs, to a defensive first team. We're playing defense. We're blocking shots. Skinner's playing well. Can they keep that up another round? because it goes against their identity. It just goes against that ID here. So can they do it again here? All the factors point to Florida. That being said, Edmonton is not some little baby team that's going to go away. I think this will be a longer series.
Yeah, I think it's out of necessity, right? What choice did they have? They got Skinner in goal, who, by the way, was already benched earlier in that series there against Vancouver. So what choice did they have, right? So it's funny what happens out of necessity in the playoffs with some teams. They realize that, wow, we can actually do this pretty well and save him. Having said that, let's not get crazy. Dallas still outshot them nearly 3-1, right? I mean, when you're only getting 10 shots on goal, Edmonton, congratulations. But if you only get 10 shots on goal and you're still playing great defense, but Skinner still got to make 28, 32, 33 saves, you're not winning in a 7-game series like that. You're just not, George. Not against Florida.
They need to play much better. They sat on that. Skinner stole that game. I mean, he should be arrested, right, for grand larceny. Yes. He stole that game. I think you put up something interesting. When Skinner was replaced, right, and they brought on Picard for a game or two, that's sort of when we saw Edmonton start to change their game and play defense.
Yeah.
You know, and I sort of equate it, I played hockey for a long time. I was a backup goaltender, but I was also a defenseman. I was starting D. I was a good defenseman. So whenever I played goalie, I was like, oh, this is terrible. I'm not playing defense now, so we're weaker there. And I'm not just tooting my own horn, but, you get that. And then I'm playing goalie. I'm not as good as the starter. Like, we're going to get shelled here. But the team played differently. They played stronger D now because they knew I was in net and I wasn't as good as the starting goaltender. So the forwards came back.
So true.
And I think that's what we're seeing with Edmonton here. They know they can't play that wide open style. As you're saying, they will not win. You will not win against these good teams. You play that wide open style. I think you're going to win 6-5 games against Florida. It's not going to happen. Or against Vancouver or against Dallas. They changed their game. And I think that's what we're seeing here. Can they keep it up, or do they go back to old habits, especially if Florida gets up 2 goals or if Florida gets up 2-1, something like that? Do they go back to old habits? It's just, I need to see it. I need to keep seeing it. That's why I have a hard time grasping Edmonton, because great job by them. Great job. We saw the Capitals do this with Alexander Ovechkin when they started to back check and play defense as well. That's why they won the cup. It's why the Toronto Maple Leafs never win the cup, because they don't do it. They haven't adjusted their game.
Yep.
Kudos to Edmonton. I need to see it again.
Yeah, wasn't Paul Maurice? He was. He knows Edmonton pretty well from his previous coaching stints, right? So he's got a pretty good idea on what this team is all about. Does coaching even matter in the finals here? But he seems to push the right buttons here with this Florida team. He has over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I believe he's coached with the Winnipeg Jets. So he certainly knows the Edmonton Oilers very well here. And more, Paul Maurice is fantastic in the conference interviews. Man, he's great. He's a lot of fun. And I enjoy that. If we get a coach who's willing to say some stuff out there, I think that's fun. I don't want to hear, we tried our hardest. It didn't work out for us. I don't want to hear that. You want to hear a guy with some personality. He's got some personality. I think coaching does matter, but give it to Knobloch. He's been great, too, for a guy who hasn't even had a training camp with his team yet. Fantastic job by him coming in.
That's correct. Yep, maybe the right fire of the year there. We'll talk some Major League Baseball when we get back. Game time decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. Joe Ranieri alongside George Kurtz as we're getting ready for some Major League Baseball. About half the games today, George, already finished or about or underway. We did just watch Colorado melt down once again. Cincinnati looks like they're going to win that one again. Also, Philadelphia with a 2-0 shutout. Gets it done, Aaron Nola against the Brewers, but everyone's eyes are going to be on this Pittsburgh Dodgers game here with Paul Skenes and Paxton. I mean, who'd have thunk it? A couple of undefeated pitchers going at PNC Park. My goodness, I don't think there's been this kind of excitement there in a long, long time. But are we trusting Paul Skenes, a rookie, right now against the Dodgers after being shut out last night?
I would probably trust them anyway, but the Dodgers aren't hitting, right? They've been in a team-wide slump now for about, 2 weeks? They're just not hitting. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Listen, it's a baseball season. We know it's 162 games, 6 months. Every team goes through this. All right. So I think that's what we're at now with the Dodgers. Maybe the Dodgers are looking forward to facing the Yankees in the Bronx over the weekend. Yeah, that could be it too, I suppose, here. But yeah, I'm on I haven't pulled the trigger on Pittsburgh winning, but I'm on the under. You know, what's the worst he's going to give up? A run? Two? You know, maybe they're going to try and beat up on the bullpen here. So give me the under in this game. It's my favorite play. I probably will pull the trigger as soon as the next commercial on Pittsburgh winning the game as well. I think they'll do enough damage against Paxton. They're not going up against Yamamoto, you know, or Tyler Glasnow, although they beat Glasnow last night, but they're just going to run off them. So give me definitely give me Pittsburgh the under, and I think I'll take Pittsburgh in the game as well.
I mean, the Dodgers are plus money. My goodness, what a turnaround there, Dodgers. How's that $900 trillion you spent? Is that good to be a road dog against Pittsburgh? That is just disgusting on so many levels here. Yankees getting ready to take on the Twins. Paddock against Rodon. It's just Yankees, right? We just rinse and repeat. Like, the Twins are not beating the Yankees.
You know, our man behind the glass, Patrick Foster there, I texted him my play for tonight. I'm like, you know, the Minnesota Twins are the Washington Generals to the Yankees' Harlem Globetrotters. I mean, that's just what they are.
It's a great call. Yep.
I mean, that game last night, the Yankees didn't even play all that well last night, but it's a 5-1 final. All right. Nope. Rodon's been great. All right. If Paddock, the Yankees should be able to beat him up. I think the only thing you're questioning this with, do you want to play it on the money line? Do you want to play it on the run line? Do you want to go both? Anytime home runs? I think either Soto or Judge, maybe both are going to hit home runs tonight. Stanton hit one last night, so I won't take him again. You really want to go crazy. Maybe Rizzo figures things out and finds the short porch there. But that's the way I'm going. Yeah, so Yankees, I think, is a pretty easy shot tonight.
Yeah, what are we trusting the Blue Jays to win a game here coming up top of the hour? Baltimore seems to have figured them out as well. So how bad is this Blue Jays team? I mean, it's embarrassing at this point.
Well, I guess two things here. The Orioles beat up the American League East. I mean, good for them. They do not lose to American League East teams. They're a good team anyway, but they're doing very well against the American League East, especially Toronto here. Berrios is going tonight. The pitching matchup says Toronto is, maybe a slight favorite, but I'm not taking Toronto. You know, Cam brought up the other day, and this is one that we've all talked about. Schneider's a dead man walking, right? The manager there.
Yeah.
Right? It's just a matter of when now. You know, is it, you know, now, midseason, end of the season? He's toast. And if they lose again tonight, what'd you lose? Game 1, 7-2 or something like that? Last night you lost 10-1, 10-2. They get blown out tonight again? I wonder if he survives tomorrow. You know, they're going to have to make a move. No choice here. They say they don't want to trade Bichette. They don't want to trade Guerrero. Great. Washington said they're not really going to trade Juan Soto, too, and he's still moved here. But something needs to be done there. I'm not saying Schneider's the problem, but what's the old saying? You can't fire 26 players. So I think that's going to be their move, where they're going to get rid of him.
They've already tried that whole fire the manager. The problems go deeper here. Eflin against Garrett here. Is it an under with Tampa and Miami? What are we looking at?
I'm on Tampa, but I'm cautious here. I don't think Eflin's going to go long. You know, maybe 60, 75 pitches here in this guy's come back from the IL. So you're talking, depending on how economical he is, 4 innings, 5, and then we get to the bullpen. Tampa's bullpen's not been as good as it has been in years past. I'm on Tampa. They should win the game here. I'm going to stay away from the under, though. Miami, actually, they got off to a hot start in that game last night, then just called it quits after that. But give me the Rays. I think they do win the first two games of the series.
Yeah, reality set in, and they realized they were the Marlins. And then they were like, this has got to stop here. I'm just saying, it is what it is. The Battle of Florida here tonight with the Rays and Miami. All right, George, we appreciate it as always. Cash those tickets, my friend. Game Time Decisions. We'll be back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on this Wednesday. It's the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri, and we go from the diamond to the hardwood here as feels like it's been forever, but yes, we do have an NBA Finals getting ready to tip off tomorrow in Boston. as the Dallas Mavericks will take on the Celtics. Can the Celtics get that elusive championship, get that banner in the building here that they have, quite honestly, should maybe have one or two more than they already do over just the last 5 years. But joining us, the one and only Mr. Mark Zinno in the house. He's got a pretty good idea on what we're going to get in this series here. I mean, certainly not for a lack of talent over the last couple of years. We can make the argument Boston probably should have another one, should have another championship somewhere along the line. But you know what they say, the first one's always the hardest here with this group. Are we trusting them long term to be able to pull this off in best 4 out of 7?
I mean, if they don't, it's because you saw something epic from Luka Doncic. Mm. I mean, look, I'm not taking anything away from Luka. He's one of the most dynamic players we've ever seen. But I still think what I've said repeatedly is, if you go back to LeBron James and the Cavaliers coming back from that 3-1 deficit, what LeBron did in games 5, 6, and 7 to put his team in that position and put them on his back, that's what you're going to need from Luka in 4 games to win this thing. You're going to need that kind of effort. Because without it, it's not that he alone isn't enough. I just don't know how much you want to trust the supporting cast. Yes, I think Kyrie is great. Yes, I think Kyrie can have an incredible impact on this series. And certainly is a guy that, you know, can take over a game for certain stretches. But still, this is a Boston team that's top 5 in offensive efficiency and defensive efficiency, and they're really, really good. And for all the media narratives that have surrounded the Celtics, guess what? When push comes to shove, they're in the NBA Finals because they're better than everybody else. And Dallas is not better than Boston, not on paper and not on the court. They don't have more depth. They don't have better shooting. They don't have better size. I mean, you know, everything favors the Boston Celtics here. So does that put pressure on Boston? Of course it does. Yes, absolutely. But still, as you said, Joe, not for a lack of talent, but it's going to take something bigger than normal, a little possibly extraordinary, but from Dallas to win this thing.
Yeah, it's. I think it's going to be fascinating. I mean, we're coming off a year in which, you know, a depleted Miami team lost in 5 to the better team in Denver here. I don't think that's what we're going to get here. I do think there is going to be an opportunity in 6 or 7 games. I think if you read the series right, Zen, game one, I mean, 7? That 7-point, I mean, the market continues to back this Boston. There is going to be a ton of value, I think, one way or the other as this series progresses here, because I do think the market has drew the line in the sand. Boston, they feel, is the better team, no doubt, and they're willing to make it to the point where it's kind of unbelievable how much they're laying right now in this first one.
I mean, look, I'm not surprised. Look, I'm not surprised it's at 7. I when they opened up at 6, 6.5, I honestly thought the number was a little short. Like, it didn't surprise me from the standpoint. Just do some comparative analysis here. And I said this. Dallas's offense and Indiana's offense are comparable, but there's a clear edge to Indiana, at least in the metrics and what they say. Now, Dallas's defense is a lot better than Indiana's defense. There's no doubt about that. But are we talking 2, 2.5 points better? Not against Boston's offense. I don't know. I mean, you tell me how Dallas really defends Boston and defends them well. I don't see it. So I thought this number was a little short. I thought it would be at 7.5 when we opened up, possibly even 8. That's where I would have opened it. So, but I get why there's been some buyback on the Celtics initially, or some buy-in on the Celtics initially, and this number is moving. But I will say this much, like any given series where you have such a heavy favorite like this, stealing game one may be the best opportunity for the Mavericks to really make a series of this thing, right? I mean, that's the best thing you can do is catch Boston sleeping, and, you know, the rest versus rust theory that they've spent too much time at home. They haven't had to work that much. And here we are in game one, and they sort of fall asleep at the wheel. Now I have a chance to do it. I don't know if I'd want to lay 6.5 as much as I think the number is short. Doesn't mean I want to lay it just because I think it's short. That said, I think if Boston is going to get caught asleep at the wheel, game one is probably the ideal condition to do it.
And I'm confused because as the number rises here towards Boston, the total's not moving. And I mean, call me crazy. If Boston is good enough and is going to cover this number, We're not staying under 214. Like, it's just not happening here. So I'm confused with the correlation of the line moving, but the total staying right where it is.
I think the under definitively favors Dallas because that means Boston isn't scoring, period. Like, I'm not saying Boston can't win an under game. They won under games against Indiana, right? Like, I'm not saying they can't win an under game, but it being under certainly favors Dallas because guess what? When push comes to shove, if Boston is pushing 115, 120, like they've been able to do a lot of times this year, I understand the playoffs are a different animal, but if they're pushing into 110, 115 range, who has better shooters down the stretch? You trust more. I trust Boston. They have much more depth. They have much better shooters. I mean, Al Horford made 7 threes in a playoff game, for crying out loud. Derek White is still chucking up threes from all over the place and making them. What happens after you get past Luka and Kyrie? I mean, is it Derek Lively? I mean, is PJ Washington or PJ Washington making threes and Daniel Goddard? No, those guys aren't making threes. So, you know, I look at the situation here and I go, if it is staying low scoring and under, Dallas has a shot to win the game better than if it goes. I don't think you want to get in a shootout with Boston.
Well, it's and that's the other thing too. Looking ahead to some of these markets here, leading scorer in the series. I know we all want to associate Tatum with Boston winning possible MVP, but how is Luka not the biggest scorer and the leading scorer in this thing when it's all said and done?
I mean, if he's not, this might be a 4 or 5 game series, right?
Right.
Like, if he's not leading every game, if he's not putting up 30 a game, guess what? I told you, there's a chance that Dallas doesn't win. You're going to need something extraordinary from a very extraordinary player in Luka for Dallas to win this series. And even at that, Joe, we don't think this is a 5-game series in favor of Dallas, right? It's going to go 6 or 7. Right. And so if Dallas is going to win this thing, we know it's a long series, and there are going to be games where Luka's just going to have off nights, and that's certainly understandable. But he's going to make up for it with some 38, you know, 39, 40-point nights where he puts everybody on his back and carries the team to a victory. So, yeah, if you're betting on the leading scorer for the series, you may as well bet on Luka, double down with it on the MVP, and push all to the table for Dallas to win the series.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. I think he's got his work cut out for him, but he's already shown he's certainly capable of carrying a team here at this particular point. Is it as simple as Boston wins, it's Tatum, and if Dallas wins, it's Luka? Or is there a dark horse here on both these teams we're missing for MVP? I
mean, look, it's 1 and 1A for both teams, right? Luka and Kyrie and Jason and Jaylen. I can't really justify taking a flyer on anybody else. Like, what's the world where Kristaps Porzingis is scoring 27 a game in this series and being better than both the other guys, and Boston is winning games, right? Like,
right.
There's not a stretch this year where Kristaps Porzingis was the leading scorer for 4 times in 7 games and Boston won 4 times in 7. Like, that's just not a formula that they're going to have. It's not going to be Derek White. It's not. I mean, is there a world where Jrue Holiday or his defensive accolades and his offensive prowess, you could put all that together? Possibly. If you look at it, but that would be like one of those things where it's a sweep and Luka's completely shut down. Jrue Holiday's on him like white on rice, and that's how the whole thing unfolds. But I don't see that happening.
So what is the over-under on how many games Porzingis plays before he gets hurt?
Two? Like quarters.
Quarter first game. You're right. I should have made it quarters. I should never in a million years have said games. I should have said, what's the over-under on the quarters before Porzingis gets crushed?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. Mark Zeno back in the hot seat with us as we get ready for a couple of games just getting underway now, Mark, in Major League Baseball. Paul Skenes taking on the Dodgers. I see Ohtani's up the plate right now. He's already got him in a 6-pitch at bat But what I Dodgers as a dog on the road, I don't care who's throwing. Like, really, is that after being shut out? Is that really where we're at in June?
No, yeah, I mean, this is a ridiculous number. The Dodgers should not be an underdog at all. Like, I mean, I get the Paul Skeens love, but like, the guy's made four starts, and there's not an objective reason other than the public will run to bet this guy, and odds makers are just adjusting accordingly. And look, I don't think it's beyond odds makers to test the waters a little bit with a player like this that has got so much sort of, you know, name recognition and sort of advertisement around him. For odds makers to test the waters and go, okay, against the Dodgers team, let's see how the public reacts when we see him as a favorite. Let's see who's smart. Let's see who's not. You know, again, I don't think odds makers ever bait anybody, but they are willing to dip their toe in the water and see if they got a line right versus getting a line wrong. And it happens. Odds makers get lines wrong all the time. They're not infallible. This is a bad line. It's a wrong line. It shouldn't be the case. The Dodgers are the better team on several fronts, unless Paul Skeens is going to pitch a complete game, which doesn't really happen that much anymore. And for rookies, even more. I guess you know what they don't get to do, Joe? Pitch all nine innings, because nobody gets to pitch all nine innings anymore. So, you know, I mean, unless that's happening, then the Dodgers are going to have a chance to win this thing, because even as bad as James Paxton is, this is not a Pirates lineup that scares me. Yes, I know James Paxton is 5-0, everybody, but his numbers stink. He's averaging a walk every other inning. So when you're putting a free pass on routinely, guess what? Those guys are going to come around to score.
Yep. I agree. I think, well, he just 101 mile an hour fastball he threw by Ohtani for the strikeout. So Freeman is up next here. But what do we do with this late night game here? Dylan Cease taking on the Angels and Soriano, who is certainly capable of lighting a match on the mound and just throwing gasoline all over it. Dylan Cease been banged around a little bit, but isn't this a complete step down in competition with what he has had to face lately? It feels like this is a good spot for Dylan Cease to kind of get back on track here a little bit against this lineup, but do we trust him?
You know, the short answer is yes, we trust him, because the numbers tell you that we should. Again, despite everything else, this is a guy that's still got a sub one whip on the year, right? And on the road, this is even better. On the road, he's 4-0 with a 2.79 ERA, and opposing hitters are batting just 171 against him. He's got 52 strikeouts and 42 innings. For whatever reason, pitching at Petco in the pitcher's park kind of sucks for him. But, you know, pitching out on the road everywhere else seems to work out. So, you know, if you're going to look for a get-right spot, this is probably it for Cease. If he struggles tonight, you have to start to wonder, was that first month completely an aberration? You know, were we just being fooled by what we saw? But I still think Cease is a pretty good pitcher. And you know, he should be able to right the ship tonight.
Yeah, it feels like this is a good spot to jump on board with him. Not a good spot. Don't trust Urena at all for the Rangers. But this Rangers team is baffling to me on so many levels here. Taking on Detroit and Kent Maeda, who is very capable of giving up 10 runs in the first three innings he throws. But is Texas the right side here and by a lot, or is this just an over game?
I mean, again, the Texas Rangers and similarly the Atlanta Braves, like, they're not really backable at this point because their offenses aren't scoring on the regular. You know how many runs the Rangers have scored in the first two games of this series? Two.
Yeah.
That's it. Their pitching has done a great job. They've only given up 5 runs in 2 games. Their offense stinks. Yeah. And so, you know, when you have Urena on the mound tonight, it was 3.74 ERA. That's not bad. 1.3 whip. You know what the problem is? That Jose Urena is not getting any run support. He's barely getting 4 runs a game this year. So do you trust Texas to turn around and hit the ball tonight? I don't. It's not a lineup I want to back. I don't want to back either one of these lineups. They stink. I mean, you know, first 5 unders this year have been murder for me, but that's the way I would lean. Because I don't think either one of these lineups are any good.
Yeah. What happened? One hit, by the way, Atlanta today? Like, what? One hit. They could. One. Is their week? Who are they coming up next against? What else? What's next for them? Are we fading them, or what are we doing here with Atlanta?
They're playing the Nationals next. So, you know, again, this, as of right now, as we stand here, You wouldn't believe me, but who has a better offense? The Nationals or the Braves? It's the Nationals.
It's crazy. It's yep.
Like that's the situation yep. we're in. So, yeah, I don't think you can back the Braves on much.
I heard through the grapevine you're a big Fetty fan here. So are we backing him in the first five with the White Sox at Wrigley? Where is Fetty your boy here tonight early?
Joe, if I wanted to set my money on fire, I would just do it. It's probably a lot easier. Eric Fetty is speaking of fires, Eric Fetty is hot garbage on the road. All right. At home, he's got a 0.95 ERA this year. On the road, it's 5.74. Hitters are batting nearly 100 points higher on the road against Fetty than they are at home. I mean, it's not a guy that you want to back, period. He does have 30 strikeouts and 31 innings. If he gets the five innings, maybe you're looking at direction, but he's given up 21 runs in 31 innings on the road. That's bad. That doesn't allow you to stay in a lot of games very long when you give up runs at that rate.
But do we trust the Cubs to score? It's 9.5 this total. 9.5.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to play overs with the White Sox just because their offense is so putrid, right? You're asking the Cubs to – it's not even the Cubs got to get to 5. They got to get to 6, maybe 7 here.
6.
To really feel confident about this.
Yep, that's kind of why I'm not seeing anything crazy wind-wise that's out of the ordinary. It just feels like 9.5 is a big ask for these two teams here. So that game coming up next hour. And, Zin, the Yanks coming up here shortly. I know you're going to throw your Rodon jersey on and kick back and watch it. We'll be back as Game Time Decisions continues here on the Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. Off and running Major League Baseball here tonight. Plenty of good games still on tap here, and we've got ourselves a little same game parlay coming up in one of them, and our good friend Davis Maddock has put it together for us. So, Davis, what's the play here tonight for an SGP?
All right, guys, we are back with another same game parlay over on the FanDuel Sportsbook, the Seattle Mariners at the Oakland Athletics, one of the most pitcher-friendly stadiums in baseball, but we are actually going to take the over on 7.5 total runs here. The Mariners offense ready to explode. And Gilbert, who we are going to back tonight, has actually been a little bit worse at run prevention while improving with strikeouts this season. So we are also going to take Logan Gilbert over 6.5 strikeouts. One of the things he offers is going quite deep in games, getting over 100 pitches with a frequency. And we are also going to add Seattle Mariners superstar Julio Rodriguez to record an RBI in this game. This three-leg same-game parlay gives us plus 662 odds, over 7.5 total runs, Logan Gilbert over 6.5 total strikeouts, and Julio Rodriguez to record an RBI. Good luck tonight, everyone.
All right, Davis, appreciate that. Speaking of the American League West here, Seattle has got to figure something out because, my goodness, the Houston Astros are running out of pitchers, folks. They learned today they lost two more of their starting pitchers to significant elbow injuries. Christian Javier and now Jose Urquidy are both going to undergo season-ending elbow surgery. My goodness. I mean, we are taught both of these guys are now on the shelf. 14 to 18 month rehab is what they are saying. Both are going to be out till at least the mid 2025 season. And don't forget, the Astros are already without Luis Garcia, Tommy John surgery he had, Lance McCullers has had surgery a year ago. He's nowhere to go. So Verlander just got off the IL. So did Framber Valdez. But now you go down, it's Hunter Brown, Ronel Blanco, and Spencer Arrigetti. That's it. They are mixing and matching here. JP France also landed on the IL. with shoulder issues. So things are not looking well for the Houston Astros from a starting pitching perspective. It ain't looking great from a lineup perspective either, as they can't they can't seem to get enough hits when they need it. But my goodness, I mean, we are talking Astros starting pitchers this year are coming into play with nearly a 5 ERA. It's the fifth worst earned run average among starting pitchers in Major League Baseball. In fact, each one of the starters on the Astros ranked dead last in WAR in Major League Baseball. It could not get any worse. Christian Javier was supposed to be a huge part of this rotation moving forward. Certainly after the 2022 World Series title run, I mean, this is a guy that there were high hopes, or you were looking at this this starting rotation this year and going, wow, these guys are going to be around for a while. But once your Quitty went down, now Christian Javier, we still can't get Lance McCullers back. Verlander looks like he's still trying to figure some things out. Framber Valdez was already hurt. Oh, boy, what a difference a year makes. Maybe Dusty Baker had a pretty good idea on what the future held for him and for the Houston Astros, because things keep going from bad to worse for them right now. We do have plenty of games getting ready to come up here just after the top of the hour here, including the New York Yankees taking on the Minnesota Twins. Carlos Rodon taking on Paddock for the Twins. Twins haven't beat the Yankees since 1986, apparently, but it's a new day. It's a new game at Yankee Stadium. Also, the Orioles taking on Jose Barrios and the Blue Jays. Can they, will they, the Blue Jays, be able to score enough runs to finally beat the Orioles? Oh, I've got my doubts on that as well. Paul Skeens handling business against the Dodgers, except for the fact they just took one off the wall on him. So we'll have an update across the board on the games currently underway in Major League Baseball. Plus, we'll talk some Belmont Stakes coming up this hour, along with the memorial on the PGA Tour. Much to get to. Game Time Decisions. Come back and join us here on The Grid.